We're doing the Netivot Shalom on Parshat Veshalach, and the Netivot Shalom had asked three questions. Question number one had been, why is it described as Vayehi, a time of sorrow when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim? Question number two had been, why is the Exodus from Egypt attributed to Pharaoh? Veshalach Paro etam, Pharaoh sent us out. What do you mean? Hashem took us out. And number three is, why was there a concern that we would change our mind? Hashem, who controls everything, could have also made it, that we wouldn't have regrets, that we wouldn't turn back. So he said, if you want to understand it, we have to understand that there are two ways to battle the Yetzer. He said, number one is that a person davens to Hashem, save me. I see that I stumble every time I sit down at 11 o'clock at night on the internet. I see I do things I wouldn't want to do. Save me from this test. And as Hashem, as he davens, Hashem intervenes and helps him overcome that test. But at the end of the day, he's still the same person, same weakness. He hasn't gotten stronger. He doesn't have more tools to control himself. And so therefore, the Yetzer Hara remains as potent as it was previously. He has had the assistance from above to overcome this specific challenge. But sometimes you have a situation where a Jew says, I want to get bigger. I will conquer myself. And in situations like that, he subdues the Yetzer Hara. And then it's not only with regard to a specific test, but rather the person himself has now overcome the Yetzer Hara in this test. And the person is a greater person, and the Yetzer Hara is a weaker Yetzer Hara, which is now under his control. When we left Eretz Mitzrayim, everything was coming from above. We didn't do anything. We couldn't take credit. It's not that we took control. It wasn't itaruta didetata. It wasn't that from beneath, from below, we uplifted ourselves, we became great, and so we initiated this great redemption. But no, everything came from above. There was a plague, and then another one, and another one, 10 plagues, and finally, we're taken out. So when you have a redemption that comes with free gifts from above, then you have to realize that you haven't really destroyed the Yetzer Hara. It's still ever present. And what happens now is that the Egyptians can give chase because they haven't been really broken. The power that they represent has not been subdued. What's happened is Hashem has intervened to allow us to leave, but the Egyptians can still give chase. Just as when an individual davens and says, Hashem, save me from this Yetzer Hara, so then when Hashem saves him, the Yetzer Hara can come back at him from different angles. And so Hashem wanted, what he really wanted, was that we should come to a complete redemption at the splitting of the sea. Then that would demand some real guts on our behalf. This charge into the sea. Ah, there's dedication. In so doing, they will be able to break that external encasing of the Egyptians, and then they will come to a more complete redemption. So that's why Hashem made it that when we left, it was Paro who sent us out of his volition. That's what the pasuk stresses in the beginning of the parsha. Paro sent out the nation. And that's really what Moshe was asking him. Send my nation. What was Moshe asking him? You send them free. So that's what Paro did. Dehalo, kmo chen yecholi Hakadosh Baruch Hu lotziam mimitzrayim ba'al kocho shel Paro. By the same token, Hashem could have taken us out by force. Ve'lama hayu tzrichim nehaskamato? Why is it that Hashem kept pushing Paro against the wall until finally Paro would agree and say, okay, go, go, go. What do I need his agreement for? Hashem can make it that it hails all around us and he can't touch us. And Hashem says, leave. Hashem could do a million things. Just like Hashem did all the plagues, but that wasn't what Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted that he should send us out. But Hashem says, I haven't seen you budge, you people of Israel. You keep waiting for me to do everything. If you're not budging, so then I have to put you to the corner where you will have to move. If you will grow, if you'll stand at the sea and see that it, now you have to do something, then we could have a real redemption. So that's why Hashem guided things in a way, Hashem led it in a way, that Paro thought that the reason we left Mitzrayim is because he let us go. Paro told us to go. So he figures, okay, I told him to go. So I'm in control. I'm still in control. And that's why Paro figures, if I'm the one that gave him authorization to go, now I say, come back. They're not coming back. So okay, so now I could change my mind, and I could run after them and bring them back. That's what the Medrash says. Amru lo gdolei malchut, ma asita? His top advisor said to him, what'd you do? Ilu lo haya biyadam ela habizal vadadayam. If all they had were our loot, that would be reason enough. Ilu od ela shekama ashirim hayu behem, kama chachamim vekama balei umaniyot, kama anashim, nashim vetaf hayu. But look at what you did. There are people that have so many wealthy people among them. The economy is going to suffer if Bill Gates leaves. And there are so many wise men among them. If we lose Einstein, how are we going to manage? He had such craftsmen among them. How could you send them free? He had men, women, children. So Paro's advisors come to him and say, how'd you do that? Botashai t'chil kore vai vai. And so Paro started weeping. He said, oh boy, what did I do? Vaihi b'shalach. That's why the parsha begins with the words vaihi. It's talking about the woe that Paro felt when he sent out the nation. He suddenly said, whoa, wait a second, what did I do? Shekol zaya ratzon elyon. All of this was God's desire. Sheyusvuim shebiadam nitcharet v'lirdof achehem v'lashimam. So that Paro thinks the way they got free was because he sent them free, and therefore it's within his capacity to give chase and bring them back. Yes?
So, there were Jews who were allowed to experience wealth and success in Egypt?
Yeah.
Wait, I thought this was just because they took their wealth when right before they left.
That's the simple reading.
He's saying that there were wealthy Jews during.
Yes.
Slavery.
Correct. The Rashi says it too. Rashi says it on the pasuk Kimetu kol ha'anashim ambakshim et nafshecha, Parsha Shmos, that Hashem said to Moshe, go back to Egypt because all those who wanted you dead have died. Rashi says, no, it doesn't really mean they died. It means that Dasan and Aviram lost their wealth. What do you see? That doesn't interfere. We're wealthy when Moshe was still in Mitzrayim. Now they became poor. All of this is to lead us to the splitting of the sea. Because then we will grow. We will have to make the redemption. We will have to charge into the sea. And that will break that external encompassing of the Egyptians. That's what Hashem says to Moshe. Moshe turns to Hashem and he yells, he says, what am I going to do? The Egyptians, the sea, the desert, I got nowhere to run. And God says, tell the people, go. Let them charge into the sea. And that's what they did. Until then, you still had Paro in his might. And that's what you see. The Pasuk says, we're standing by the Yamsuf, and the people of Israel look back, and they see Paro charging after them. They see the Egyptians charging after them. And Rashi explains, what does it mean? They saw the Egyptians giving pursuit. Rashi says it means they saw the Egyptian angel with them as they're giving pursuit. They turned around and they saw Egypt in its glory coming after them. They saw, hey, the Egyptians, they're still the formidable force we left behind. We thought Egypt was destroyed. They turn around and they see, wow, what an army is giving chase. And so Hashem says, okay, now it's up to you. And at the splitting of the sea, when we stood up to the challenge, al yedei vayisau, through traveling, charging into the sea, hegel letachlit ha-geulah shlema mekoach mesirut nefesh b'itaruta deletata. That's when we reached the complete redemption because of the dedication that the people showed. Ve'echniu legamre et hakoach sheklipat Mitzrayim. And so they were able to completely subdue that force in the world that's called the external encompassing of the Egyptians. As the verse says, the wheels of their chariots were removed. Sheshavu legamre et makevet atumah shel Mitzrayim. We read it; it seems to say chariots. The Netivot Shalom says chariot represents the chariot that, so to speak, held the forces of the Egyptian defilement. Vaz ne'malem asher item et Mitzrayim hayom lo tosifu lirotam od ad olam velo nishar behem ad echad shenishbar legamre koach haklipa. And that's when they were told, you're never going to see him again. This force, right, this force, which was the Egyptian force of Yetzer Hara, the Egyptian force, just like you have the Merkava, you have the heavenly chariots that represent holiness, so he's learning there are also chariots that represent Egyptian chariots, the Egyptian forces in the world, those forces of defilement. And now that the people are going to stand up to the challenge, that's when they're told, take a good look, because you're never going to see it again. You're never again going to see that force in this world. The Egyptians are finished.
Because they were fighting the Yisrahara. They walked into the sea.
Yeah, because they did it.
That was
Am Yisrael doing it.
They got away from the time.
Yeah. V'zeu pirush v'hi b'shalach paro, and that's why the Pasuk says, v'hi, a term of sorrow, when they were sent by paro, lefi shekol hakoach shel klipat Mitzrayim edan hiya b'tokpo. The Pasuk is indicating it's not as good as you think. The Egyptians are still a force to be contended with. So the Pasuk's telling you, whoa, look at that. The redemption isn't complete. It's Paro that gave him authorization to leave. So the redemption isn't complete. And Hashem did not take them through Philistine territory because they were close. And Hashem said they might have regrets when they're faced with war and return to Egypt. What the Pasuk is alluding to is that if the people would have had their own sovereign strength, then you wouldn't have to worry, maybe they're going to have regrets. But because until this point, God says, I'm doing everything here, you guys aren't doing anything. So they hadn't exhibited any individuality. They hadn't exhibited any individual strength that they could stand up to the challenge. And so the Egyptian force in the world wasn't yet subdued. Quite the contrary, it was as strong as ever. That's why Hashem says, these aren't people who could stand up to challenges. They haven't yet proven themselves. They haven't stood up to any challenge. I'm the one who did everything here. And then they might turn back and go back to Egypt when they're faced with hardships. And yes, Hashem could have caused it that they wouldn't have regrets. But that wasn't what Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted that they should toil. They should contend with the challenge. That they should be aroused when they're faced with the sea. Hashem said, I don't want it all to be my doing, because if they stand up to the challenge, that's when they'll have a complete redemption and they'll break the force of Egypt in the world. And that's the idea that the Pasuk says, Hashem had us go in a circular route through the desert. That the challenges of the desert were really there so that we would stand up to the challenges and then be greater people, have a more complete redemption. The Pasuk says, we left Egypt chamushim. What does chamushim mean? So one interpretation is they were fortified. They had weapons. One interpretation is they had dwindled down to a fifth. Another interpretation is that the word chamushim corresponds to the word chamishim. And that's what the Holy Zohar writes. Kedita b'sefer b'sfrim ha'kdoshim, the holy works write, demumaz lenun pa'amim shenizkira yitziat Mitzrayim b'Torah. Here we have an allusion to the fact that Yitzias Mitzrayim is mentioned 50 times in the Torah. Shem keneged chamishim chinot shel yitziat Mitzrayim, that there are 50 different aspects of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Every time they had to leave a different part of Egypt. Meaning, you know the saying, you could take the monkey out of the jungle, you can't take the jungle out of the monkey. Meaning, we're leaving, we have to leave on so many different levels. And I think that's a big part of the tshuva process. We're told that Rus was the great Gioris. David HaMelech comes from her. Right? King David is a descendant of Ruth. Yet when Ruth goes out to the field, she's standing with the guys. Boaz hints her, you know, why don't you stand with the girls? And she doesn't get the hint. It's only when her mother-in-law spells it out to her and says, you stick with the girls. The modest way to do it is with the girls. So she's a top girl. But she's not used to these ideas of modesty. There are levels in the tshuva process. Person begins, he says, okay, I'm keeping Shabbos. But there's a higher level of keeping Shabbos. There's a guy who's keeping Shabbos and he's wondering what happened at the Super Bowl. There's a guy who's keeping Shabbos and he's thinking, what kind of chont will I eat? And there's a guy who's keeping Shabbos, and when he's keeping Shabbos, when davening comes, he's with the davening. When the meal comes, he's with the meal. When the singing comes, he's with the singing. His soul's in a different place. There are levels. Every one of us has levels. Yetzias Mitzrayim had 50 levels. It's referred to 50 times in the Torah because there were 50 aspects that we had to rid ourselves of the effects of Egypt, that we had to be redeemed from Egypt. And that's the idea of Sfira Sa'omer, where we're counting up to the 50 as we count from the day we left Mitzrayim. Each day represents a different aspect of purification, a different aspect of leaving Mitzrayim, coming clean of Egypt. That was also the idea of the 42 journeys in the desert. If you look at the work, Torat Avot, where the Torah describes the 42 journeys, Shem Sheva Masot Shechazu Mehaor HaHar Ad Mosera Hem Besach HaKol Memtet. If you add the seven journeys from Hor HaHar to Mosera that are not there, so then you end up with 49 journeys, Negdimeh Sfira, corresponding to the days we count from Yetzias Mitzrayim to the day we received the Torah, Shebechlalutam Hem Tisperu 50 Yom. That all together the Torah says count till the 50th day. Because we had to leave the 50 different aspects of Egypt. That the journeys represent the journeys of the Jewish people. They represent the fact, like at the sea, that they stepped forward, they stepped up to the plate. And every person has their journeys, their responsibilities to step up to the plate, to make those journeys in his life, in his spiritual life, in his physical life, to take those steps forward, to be able to advance from where he's come from.